Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you guys for joining us. Marquise Munson producing. Three silly season, three job openings in the SEC. The University of Washington announced a coach resigning and hired a coach all in one press release. It's very efficient up there in Seattle in the Pacific Northwest. Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, joining us here on the show. TB, always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. This time of year, man, it's always fun watching the news and charting where planes are flying across the country, isn't it?
It is, and with the advent of the new recruiting calendar, the early signing day in December, it is doubly crazy because all these coaches, even the ones that are looking for jobs or may want another job here or there, they're having to recruit for their old school, and guys have been fired. Like the Ole Miss coaching staff, for example, they're out recruiting today. Okay, they just say, go recruit, we'll keep paying you. And it's just December is just, oh, and oh, by the way, we're going to crown a bunch of conference champions this weekend too. So
which job is better? Take away the rosters. Don't look at the current rosters for me, but just sort of considering fan support, financial support, you know, where you're located geographically, access to players, all the things that coaches consider. You look at Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Missouri. How do you rank those three relative to the Big Seven in the SEC and to each other?
Oh, Ole Miss is number one by far. I mean, Ole Miss has got a lot of things going for it. First of all, it's located in a prime recruiting territory just up the road from Memphis. So many good players there. Mississippi is a better state than a lot of people know when it comes to talent. So first of all, you're the University of Mississippi. Secondly, it's a great place to go to school, and it's a great place to live. And so the money is there, the fan interest is there. And having said all that, I wasn't real crazy about the decision to let Matt Luke go, but that's another topic. But of those jobs, Ole Miss would be one, I think, probably Mississippi State two, and Arkansas three.
Now, there's a lot of coaches out there, obviously, that potentially want jobs at either one of these universities is in the SEC. So whether we think is a good program or not, just about any job is a good job if you're looking to be a head coach. But the name I have not seen that I think would be, you know, the next hot thing is Joe Brady. Do you think there will be a school, a university that seriously go after Joe Brady?
Listen, you cannot understate the job that Joe Brady has done at LSU, because it was the right combination of offense, execution of the offense, and having the right player to pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. So he's done a tremendous job. But does that translate in the guy's 30 years old? Does that translate into turning over one of these jobs to a guy who's never been a head coach? And he's not a coordinator. He's never been a coordinator. He is sort of co-coordinator at LSU. So yeah, would he be the hot guy and all of that? But the thing, before I hire him, I said, have you got a guy? Do we have a guy like Joe Burrow to pull the trigger?
Tony Barnhart.
I'll be interested. I just don't know that I'm going to turn over one of these multi-million dollar programs to a 30-year-old guy who's got to go out and find him a quarterback.
Have you heard his voice, Tony? Like, do you know what he sounds like?
I have no idea.
Right. That's what we were trying to figure out.
It's like I think Bruce Feldman did an interview with him like a couple of weeks ago, and it's like the first interview he's ever done in his entire career, like as a coach or player. Yeah, like no one's ever talked to the guy. So I'm with you. I think he's a little inexperienced, but man, like you said, you can't understate how good he's done. And that means LSU goes into Atlanta 12-0, probably no matter what happens, they're in the playoff, which I think is fair. They've earned that right. Georgia's defense is spectacularly good. I don't think people realize how good they are statistically. Can Georgia make this the LSU-Auburn game this year? Can they make it a 23-20 game and win in Atlanta?
That's exactly the roadmap. What I've said for about a week now is that for Georgia, it's really simple. If they can keep the game in the 20s, they have a chance to win. If the game gets into the 30s, I don't think Georgia can win that game. That's not how they're built. So that's number one. And it's really going to be won by the defense, and Jake Fromm's going to have to make the plays when the plays are presented to him. Now, he's been good. His percentage has not been good the last four games, but he has made plays when the plays have been available. And so, and the other thing for Georgia, and this is, I can't overstate this, I can't stress it too much, is DeAndre Swift has got to be close to 100%. I mean, he is the X factor in this game. Georgia's ability to run the ball, move the chains, limit LSU's number of possessions is going to play a big part in this. Now, Georgia's got some depth at running back. We know that. But DeAndre Swift is special.
Now, looking at right now the top four, we know who the top four is. You know, whether it changes in order, we it's yet to be seen as far as the committee. But that 5 through 7 is going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. If Oklahoma is 5 and Utah 6, does Oklahoma and Baylor 7, can Baylor get in beating Oklahoma and Utah winning?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. No. I don't think so. I think the committee will look at Oklahoma completely different than they would a Baylor. Mm-hmm. I still think it's going to be a big debate on Oklahoma versus Utah. I mean, you look at the way that Utah is playing right now, and right now they're 6, okay, mm-hmm. and Oklahoma's 7. Now, obviously, with Alabama losing, I expect Utah to be 5 and Oklahoma to be 6. But it's going to be the argument between a 12-1 Utah and a 12-1 Oklahoma is going to be pretty doggone intense, because mm-hmm. if you look at Utah, that is a really good football team. They've got about 7 guys on that defense who have a chance to play in the NFL, and that is unusual.
Tony Barnhart joining us here, Mr. College Football, and Jeremy Pruitt wins 5 games down the stretch. They obviously are surging. They win 5 games in the SEC. Now, they only beat one team, Kentucky, with a winning record, but who cares? Beating teams that mm-hmm. you're supposed to is still a giant step forward for Tennessee. Butch Jones got this team to a point in the preseason where they were picked to win the SEC East, and they had a good quarterback in Josh Dobbs. How far away from that is Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee?
I don't think it's terribly far, because you look at the way that they played, the way they played down the stretch. You know, they beat Kentucky, and only 2 teams beat Kentucky in the final 7 games of the season. The other one was Georgia in a driving rainstorm. And I've written this several times, guys, that if not, Ed Orgeron is going to be your SEC Coach of the Year. He'll probably be National Coach of the Year. He certainly deserves it. If not for Ed Orgeron, I think Jeremy Pruitt would be your SEC Coach of the Year. Because they were so far in the ditch this year. And sometimes the great coaching job is not the guy that goes 12-0. It's the guy who keeps a 2-9 season, keeps a tough season from turning into 3-9. And that's what he did, because they were headed to a historically awful season, and they got it back on the road.
Now, Tony, we had a discussion earlier about Vanderbilt and Derek Mason, and how, you know, maybe they need to do it a different way. Not necessarily coaching, but schematics. Trying to do it a different way. We've seen other teams in the SEC try to win a different way. Do you think Vandy would be better suited if they tried to win a different way, whether it be triple options, some other way where they can get these non-conference game victories and sort of these swing game victories? Because the way they're doing it now, they just it's hard for them to compete week in and week out.
It is, and my recommendation is go out and make sure you got a Kyle Shurmur, okay? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, what happened in Vanderbilt this year was entirely predictable. Not only do you lose Kyle Shurmur, none of the quarterbacks you brought in were very good. That's number one. Number two, you lost Andy Ludwig, your offensive coordinator, to Utah. Well, guess what he's doing at Utah? That's turned out really well for them. I thought those were 2 really big losses for Vanderbilt, and because they had 3 of the best skilled people in the country and could not take advantage of that. Why? Because they didn't get good enough quarterback play. You cannot be average at the quarterback position anymore. You just can't. It used to be you could run the ball and play defense and be average at the quarterback position. Well, guess what? You can't do that anymore. And so Vanderbilt's got to figure out who it wants to be and make sure they get the personnel to run that offense.
Tony, you talk to a lot of coaches. I talk to coaches, and I think there's a theme that, you know, playoff expansion will be more inclusive somehow, and we'll get, obviously more teams would get into the playoff, but I actually think if you talk to coaches, they'll tell you it's going to make winning the national title far more difficult, because then you have to win three or four elite-level games. Can you explain, like, do you fall into the group of, hey, if we expand, sure, you might get into the tournament, but it still just means that the best of the best of the best, the blue bloods, the haves versus the have-nots, are still going to win all the championships, because now it's going to be even harder to win a national title.
Yeah, it's not in that regard, it's not going to change anything, unless you think that, you know, Memphis is going to come out. You know, Memphis, Mike Norvell's done an incredible job. But for a team like Memphis, the problems that exist are always going to exist. And, you know, I know. Look, we're going to have an 18 playoff. It's going to happen, but it's not. It's going to happen later rather than sooner. And nobody has shown me a method that will work yet. Well, let's just get rid of the conference championship games. Let's do that. Okay, fine. Well, the SEC said, fine, we'll do that. That'll be $14 million, please. Okay? they're not going to do that. So, yeah, it would. Having eight teams makes it, you know, you don't have to be a genius, makes it exponentially different, because you got to win three games instead of two to win the national championship. So,
yeah, I think if you talk to coaches, they'll tell you they don't want it to expand. They like if you're Kyle Whittingham, your best path to a championship right now is for a 4-team playoff where you only have to win two games, not a chance to win three.
The only pushback that I would give you on that, Braden, is that if you go to eight, what's going to happen now is the definition of having a good season will be, did you make the playoffs? Okay. And that will ratchet up the pressure on the coaches to make the playoffs. It's just like now,
right?
A basketball coach, if you don't make the NCAA tournament 3 years in a row, I don't care if you win 23 or 24 games. That doesn't matter. Did you get into the tournament? If you didn't, you're gone. And the standards are going to be the same for the coaches. Did you get it? Now that it's easier to get into the playoffs, we can demand that you get into the playoffs on a more consistent basis.
I'm fine putting more pressure on the guys that make all the money. The problem is that trickles down to all the players eventually having to work harder. Tony Barnhart, always a pleasure, my friend. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday. Enjoy championship weekend.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Tony Barnhart there. And by the way, a little college football at the top of the hour. Mark Hudspeth, head coach of the Austin Peay Govnas, having arguably the greatest season of all time. They are in a 32-team playoff.
Wow.
We'll find out what he thinks about that coming up top of the hour. But when we return, stick to sports right here on Morning Drive.